here, and Terry is teaching Sunday school, and downstairs they are singing, and all around the globe, people call out to him. It always, I mean, he's an amazing God, but it still amazes me that we have a God who can hear all of those requests and hears the praises of his people. I mean, we have our smartphones and all those things that we can communicate, but the line with him will never cut out. I mean, we don't have to first go. We can go directly to him, to Christ. It's just an awesome thing. So I just thank him this morning. So this morning, as we continue in Zephaniah, to make it short this morning, I would say God people and we are winning. That's it. No, but it's like the book of Revelation has all. First, God speaks to the churches, and then we have a lot of calamities and all terrible things that come upon the earth. You know, but then we always have a glimpse of hope between verses that show that the church, God's people will win, God's covenant people will win, and God will win at the end. Especially the end, at the end of the book of Revelation, it's very clear. And similar to Zephaniah, we get between the calamities. Even last week, when John spoke, we get a ray of hope. And especially for, I always think, for his covenant people, there is yet an awesome future. And so I think today we start in verse 4 I'll go to verse 15. Maybe we can just... I wonder, John, you want to read from 4 to 7? 4 to 7. And then I go a bit in details from there.
For Gaza shall be deserted, and Ashkelon shall become a desolation. Ashdod's people shall be driven out at noon, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to you, inhabitants of the seacoast, you nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you until no inhabitant is left. And you, O seacoast, shall be pastures, with meadows for shepherds and folds for flocks. The seacoast shall become the possession of the remnant of the house of Judah, on which they shall graze, and in the houses of Ashkelon they shall lie down at evening. For the Lord their God will be mindful of them and restore their fortunes.
Amen. So we just see in those few verses that we have 1, 2, 4. Already in the fourth verse, we obviously see hope for God's people. You know, so we have God will deal with the nations. We see in the book of Zephaniah, we have the judgments against Judah that we had from chapter 1, 2 to 2, 3. And now it's against Judah's enemies. From verse 4 to 15 is actually a judgment of the nations. I mean, I've read it years ago, somehow together with the book of Revelation. I always saw that Zephaniah talks especially about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is when all, you know, people say sometimes all hell break loose. But when the day of the Lord will indeed happen and all hell will break loose. Because I talked last week a bit with John that when the church is removed and God's wrath will fall upon the earth, then it will calamities will come. But here we see, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. And I just like to go maybe to a few different scriptures. Maybe we can go to Jeremiah 47, verse 1 and 5. Jeremiah 47, we see the different prophets who prophesied the destruction of those of Gaza, of those different lords of the Philistines. And some of them, I must confess to you, I always have a hard time with the timing, you know, 600, 630 BC, and you know those different. But we've seen from Scripture that God uses the enemy to deal with God's people. Then he uses this enemy against another enemy and deal with them. And so God is, even today, he puts a king on the throne and he brings him down. He has no problem with this. But that's how God deals with his people. I think what we've seen here in Zephaniah is that when God used the enemy to deal with his people, it's like when he would use one of us to deal with the wicked man, a woman, and we enjoy it. You know, we have pleasure to God uses the enemies, but what they had pleasure in doing it and said, aha, they laughed at God's people, the way he dealt with them. Though God used them, yes, but, and so now God actually will repay. He will deal with the enemies around Israel's, Judah's enemies, Israel's enemies. And also, that's myself, I have a hard time with Judah and the northern tribes around there. But to me, I always see us God's covenant people, you know, the Jewish people, God's covenant people and Israel. And actually, I was looking for a map where you see, and I couldn't find it. I have a nice map where you see all those different. In Jeremiah 47, verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. In verse 5, it says, boldness is come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? And so it just shows that the prophecy was against Gaza and against, and some of them were almost completely destroyed even before Zephaniah's prophecy. But also it talks about in which verse here, noonday. In verse 4, it talks about noonday. And when I've read it, I wonder, noonday, you know, imagine you have your meal, noonday, everything is going smooth. It's noonday, and then calamity. Makes me think about 2 weeks ago, we were having lunch, and light was on, everything, and we had the transformer outside the house exploded. Up in the post. So like noonday, calamity will strike. And it's like when you don't expect it. And that's going to be for them like this. And yeah, or unexpected also. You know, I think also in the New Testament it says it will come as a thief. Not for us. It shouldn't be as a thief for us, but for those who don't wait for him or don't know him, or it will come like a thief. It's unexpected. But also, God, no wonder God says, I will repay. Because in Jeremiah, you just go a bit before in chapter 6. chapter 6, it says, God talks here, the prophet talks here about the destruction of Judah. And he says how it's going to come. So it says in verse 6, in verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4, prepare ye war against her, arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadow of the evening are stretched out. But I just took this verse because at noon, you know, Judah's enemies here too came at noon, and it's going to be the same for them. God will repay, you know, they went at noon, the way they dealt with God's people. Yes, God used the enemy, but it's the pride and the joy they had in doing it. In verse 5, I like to go to Ezekiel. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 25, 25, and it will be verses 15 to 17. It says, here is a prophecy again against the Philistines. It says, thus said the Lord God, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart. Now, I believe that's what the problem is, the way they did it, the way, despiteful heart, to destroy it for the old hatred. And, you know, I think of today, this old hatred is still there for God's people. I was thinking about your son, Jeff, and you wonder why, you know, why is this hatred against the Jews or black or whatever it might be? So God, it's Ezekiel 25, verse 15. Yeah, in this chapter he talks about prophecy against Moab, against the Philistines. But it's, I think what God, we know what God hates is pride. You know, make me think of the devil. How is it? I will sit up on the, and I will be, and I will like be the Most High, and I will do this. And the same thing, even in the New Testament, when it says, it's a prideful thing. If tomorrow I will do this, and tomorrow I will do this, and it's nothing wrong with planning, but I believe the pride that I'm going to do this. And like the farmer who we read in the Gospel of Luke, he pulled down the barns and build bigger ones. And he said, tomorrow I will do this, and tomorrow we'll do this, and I will be marry and eat and live for many years. And then God said that he's a fool because his soul is required. So I just thought here in verse 15 we see the old hatred especially too. And they didn't just deal with God's people, but it was like a vengeance, they gave more than what God asked. I think even made me think of David. When David sinned against the Lord, he had the choice of choosing three things, and finally he chose that God would punish him because he knew that man is terrible when we deal with. It says in verse 16, therefore thus said the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines. I will cut off the cherubim and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. So we have the similar verse. And I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and I shall lay my vengeance upon them. So you just see that God, those are harsh words, but God, I believe you don't have to be concerned or worry when God deals with man or with, because he doesn't punish above the crime or not less than the crime. You know, I think of our sin and being he didn't deal as he should have dealt with me. You know, so I'm glad that we see it as believe that he hasn't dealt with us according to our sins, otherwise I wouldn't stand here. So, and even, when we read about these covenant people, I always think, man, we as a church or as individuals, you know, how, what would he say about us? Are we walking with him? So we just see here how, I just thought those verses to see why he is going to deal with them, why he wants to destroy him in Zephaniah. I don't know if verse 5, maybe go verse 6, in verse 6, I just marked down. You see, I had sticky notes that I wanted to stick in my verse. And I think I should have put honey on it maybe so it would stick better, but they all kind of went all over, so I stuck them on it. Anyways, in verse 6, where are we here? Verse 6, Zephaniah. He talks about the sea coast, you know, that he will deal with the sea coast and all this. But then I also thought where it says, shall be dwellings and cottages for sheep, shepherds and folds of flocks. And I just wondered if, there's probably a better use with shepherds and flocks and things like than like with the Philistines and all those people over there, you know. It made me think of the shepherds out in the field when the angel proclaimed the bird and things, and there were shepherds out in the field, and he made it known to them, you know, and they were excited to hear it. And so maybe here, I don't know, I just thought maybe the shepherds out in the field make better use of that land than the people of the sea coast. I just have a note here. One of the commentaries says, God will at length restore his people to their rights, though they may be long kept out from them. You know, sometimes it can be in our life. You think, why is it unrighteousness like this? And why is it? But we see in the book of Zephaniah that God will ultimately deal with unrighteousness. And also, I believe, as we see those few verses, we also see a comfort for God's people. Though God seemed to be their enemy and fight against them, as we see, he was the enemy, the fighter, yet he was still their friend, still God's people's friend, and an enemy to Israel's enemy, you know. And what we've seen in those verses, especially in Ezekiel, that God resented the way the enemy dealt with his people, and I believe he resents it today if people are against his people. You know, that's why a nation that's for Israel. I'm so thankful in President Trump a few weeks ago when he said that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and it belongs to the Jews. I forgot exactly the word, but he made a statement that all around the globe they hate him even more for this. They hate your president even more than they hate him before. I'm so thankful that he stood for this. It makes me smile. Terry and I, when we hear sometimes the media said, there we go, all those people who hate him and hate him even more.
It's interesting. We were just talking about this last night, and there's also nations that hate Israel. And they make it their position to hate Israel and even impose it upon all their citizens that they should hate Israel as well.
Yeah. And I forgot his name right now, but he got a Nobel Peace Prize, and he's the man that in paper, when you've read it, I have the Midnight Call magazine, which is a Christian magazine. He said they should be driven out into the sea, the Israelites. And he, for some reason, he did some kind of deal with other, and he, I don't know, it wasn't Arafat, but it was some guy that made the statement we should drive him out in the sea, you know. And so it means killing all the Jews, and he got the Nobel Peace Prize or whatever. So So I thought, man. Yeah. So no, it's just but God. I think the comfort too for us is that God will. Deal according to his word, you know, what it says in his word. We can depend that what it says he will do. Did he do for obvious verse 7 is here that the house of Judah is really the rightful owner of the land and shall recover the possession when God visits his people. So when God visits his people, he, no matter how he does it, but he will bring them back to their land. And I always say to their land, but actually, I can't tell you right now where it is, but in his word it says it's his land. It's his city and it's his land. And so and also when I think about the Jewish nations, it's a small people, not a great people, that people have a hard time with this. Why did he choose them? But it's not up to us to question why he did it. He He chose you and me, you know. And also, now it says, I thought about this. They shall feed thereupon. It says in verse 7. They shall, and I thought, you know, when they're tired, they're just finished. They're just God. They give them a place to lay down and to rest. Give them the land. Even the land back. It's going to be a special happening. And I know to do this and to, so that's God's coming and people come back to Him, He has to do a work in their hearts. And it says, I will turn their hearts of stones into hearts of flesh. You know, I think about Lori Etchie sometimes prays about that. He would do this with our heart, our hearts of stones, changing the heart of flesh. But that's what He's going to do with His people, to bring, open their eyes to see. So I don't know for verse 7, but it is a glimpse of hope here, that this sea coast will come back to His people. I don't know, Josh, you want to read from 8 to 11 maybe? 8 to 11.
I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people, and made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, the God of hosts of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits, and perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This they shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be awesome to them, for He will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth. The people shall worship Him, each one in his place, indeed all the shores of the nations.
Amen. So even in those few verses, again in verse 11, we see a glimpse of hope that the day will come at all nations. I believe it's going to be during the millennium, where people, you know, it's going to be a time of peace, millennium reign of Christ. And it says those who won't go up to the Feast of the Tabernacle, those who won't go up to Jerusalem, it won't rain on their land. It says it won't, and it says even the mules, the eyes will rot in their socket, and all kinds of pestilence, because they don't go up to, because at that time, Lord Jesus will reign. But here we have a glimpse that where God gets, in verse 11, where God is getting rid of all of the false gods, all of the idol worship. But as we go to verse 8, I believe the people of Moab and all those the Philistines, all those people around them, are charged with the same crime. And I like to go again to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 25 again, Ezekiel 25. And there, verse 3, Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 3, it says, "And say unto the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus said the Lord God, because thou sayest, aha." You know, it's like, it says, good, Bruce is finally getting nailed. You know, I don't know, but it's, there are other places where they even go, ha-ha, they laugh about, it says, aha, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity. So, it made me think of the lost too, that I said, Lord, help me that I'm ever prideful that I'm saved and I know Him, and don't have compassion for the lost, because really they're going to not just go to a land of Egypt, but they're going to go to a eternal fire and hell forever and ever. So that's why I believe, as we witness, and I'm glad this church is excited about evangelism, is because we don't say, oh, just let them go there. You know, just, you know, somebody say, and sometimes it is, you know, wicked man, somebody say, oh, he, just finish him, he deserves. But on the other hand, we all deserve hell, you know, we all deserve hell and destruction. So, but I think God shows clearly from his word that he, this arrogant thing that the Israel's enemies had, he deals now with them. In verse 8, it talks about Moab. In verse 8, in the same chapter, it says, thus said the Lord God, because that Moab and Seir do say, behold, the house of Judah is like unto all heathen. So they compare it, oh, they're just like all the other people. And it made me think, as a church, sometimes you hear this, you know, oh, they're just a bunch of, how do you call people who pretend? Hypocrites and all the, but God forbid that, you know, that I always say that there maybe have been times where people rightfully pointed a finger on me and said, oh, he's like other old men, he's like other, like the other man, you know, he, and so that's why I believe it's important that as a church too, that they can point finger, and if they point finger, they point fingers wrongfully, you know, that they might accuse us of things, but made me think of my father-in-law. He was very upset when I left the church, for example, in Bedford, I leave my family and all this. He was very upset, but I remember this discussion we had. I said, Walter, I said, if I'm a hindrance for you to come to know the Lord, I'm sorry. But I said, one day, I said, I'm going to stand before God and give an account how I have dealt with people, how I have lived my life. I said, but you too. And so that's how it's been. So, but it's, I'm just glad we have the Word of God to show us why God deals now with Moab and all those. Not just, well, in God's Word says it's, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So he doesn't just deal with them to finish them off, but it's the cup is full. So now he's gonna deal with them. It's somebody said, like, it's great swelling words of vanity are the genuine language of the church's enemy. You know, so and I believe here too we see it in the Old Testament things. God is upset with them. He's the way they dealt with his people. If you have something to share, I think just mention it. In verse 9, as you're in Ezekiel, for verse 9, I like to go to Jeremiah chapter 48. 48. It says, how it's gonna look like. It says, therefore, as I live, said the Lord, that's in Zephaniah 9, Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. Even the breeding of nettles and salt pits. When I feed this as a farmer, when you only have, instead of corn and grain and things, you have nettles, we have weeds, only weeds come. And quite often it's kind of weird, I don't know why, but weeds normally grow where other crops don't grow. So you have nettles and all those nasty weeds that you can do. And salt pits, you have, I know out west in the Canadian West, and even I believe in the American West, you have places where the land has like salt. It's nothing grows, it's just like salt, and not pits, but they're salt surfaces, and nothing grows. Yeah, then in the Canadian West, so nothing will grow, and where things grow, it says it will be nettles and weeds. That's in verse 9 in Zephaniah, you know, it talks about this. But then, as I mentioned, Jeremiah 48, it says, verse 26, it's just It's a prophecy against Moab. It says, make ye him drunken, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab also shall wallow in his vomit, and he also shall be in derision. For was not Israel a derision unto thee? Was he not among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. What does it say in your translation? Verse 27, they were kind of happy, jumping up and down, you know. It says in verse 28, O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. So it's, and in verse 29, if you read there too, we have heard the pride of Moab. He's exceeding proud, his loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and his haughtiness of his heart. So God mentions all the things that he hates, the pride and all this haughtiness and all this thing. And that's why he deals, we see in verse 9 how he deals with them. Even the land will not produce because of their pride and their arrogance and things. So,
Hans, one thing it's so neat. Oftentimes, we have like the same six repeat offender nations, or seven in this case.
Yeah.
It's like everybody in the Word, every nation mentioned gets dealt with.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like anybody just walks off the stage of God's Word and isn't judged. Everybody's accountable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every nation.
Yeah. Yeah, he deals with every nation. We might think sometimes Canada, it's different now. Used to think we are Christian nations, you know, but now all the wickedness and things, many things good are called wrong and wrong are called good. And when you think in the courts and things, it's just wicked. So God will deal with all of them. Yeah, thanks. And maybe that's why he mentions all those different ones. You know, he doesn't leave anyone out in the sea coast and all the Gaza and Philistines, Ethiopia. But then in verse 9, but I also think in Deuteronomy chapter 29, how God talks to his people. Deuteronomy 29. In verse 16, it's the Lord's covenant with Israel, but he also tells them that, you know, if they don't, it is also always a blessing and a curse. You know, a blessing if you obey. He told them earlier, it's a blessing and a curse. But in verse 16, for you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came to the nations which you passed by, and you have seen their abominations and their idols, wooden and stones and silver and gold, which were among them. And then he talks about, you know, if there anyone amongst you, you know, who does the kind things, or worships idol and all this. It says, maybe we go a bit further down. It says, that they should have, he told them to separate. If somebody worships those idols, somebody, you know, worships those idols and goes after those gods, that you separate yourself from them, and put them out from amongst them. And it says in verse 23, and that the whole land therefore is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown, nor bared, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, with which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. So he just tells them here, he made a covenant with them, but he always warned him. He says, you know, it's going to end up this way if you go after other gods. And what else did I mark? It's 29. Well, in verse 28 it says, and the Lord rooted them out of the land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them out and cast them into another land as it is this day. So it's in verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. But I just marked those down when I read it. I read all those verses and well, God doesn't leave anything out. He told them, you're going to use. It hasn't changed from the Old Testament to the New. It says, what you sow, you will reap. You know, you his people, covenant people, or us, individuals, or as a church, we sow what we reap what we sow. There is no doubt. Oh yes, I got here another note that I got from which commentary. It says, proud men sometimes by the just judgment of God fall under the mortification of being trampled upon themselves by those whom once they, how do you say, haughtily? I can't say the word right, proudly, like arrogant, trampled upon. They shall, so that's what they will have for their pride, you know, with pride and being proud, trampled upon other people, and now God will trample them. So, also, it's quite how you say, it's a prophecy, Old Testament, but it's still applicable for our days. It's God will so we have verse 11 is also it's going to be a day, there's going to be an end of all idols and the worship only the true God. And can you just read the verse, if you have it first, in the book of Revelation 14:7. Book of Revelation 14:7. I want to order another Bible like this. I'm so used to my old Bible and the target pages.
And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water.
Amen. So, that's how it's going to be one day. You know, we have an angel, and it's awesome. I just think today, if an angel would fly midair over Swampton and proclaim, and that's, I've pictured it somehow this at that time. It's one more call, you know. The everlasting gospel is going to be preached. Even I believe everybody's going to hear. You know, God's word says everybody's going to. So we have here the everlasting gospel that came proclaimed before Babylon falls. The great mother harlot he talks about here. Before she falls and before God's wrath will fall. So I just thought for verse 11, and man shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. So, what a day that will be when, you know, what's kind of what I kind of wonder or question is, how come we have a millennium reign and I believe God has set it up like this? It's going to be a 1,000-year reign with Christ, and there's going to be peace. Satan is going to be bound. But at the end of the millennium, we see that the multitudes will go with Satan. You know, so what is the excuse going to be then? You know, they show. You know, the God, man is just, man is, and I think unless God draws us, unless he was drawing me to him. I never would found him, you know. So it is something weird. It is a time to quit, right? So also we're not quite through verse 15, but I just thank the Lord that he, the way he deals with the nation, the way he deals with his people, the way he deals with us, is especially not apart from his word. You know, he the day when we're going to stand before him, you know, he talks about when the unbelievers stand before him, books will be opened, the book of life. I believe this book will be open. Nothing that, only what's written in this book, God will use to church. And so I just thank him that we can depend on his words. So that we have gone, you should have said, okay, that's it. So so praise him. Let's just pray for the service. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word, and we just thank you that you saved us, Lord, that you have redeemed us. And Lord, as we see how you deal with sin, and think, Lord, to just help me, help us as a church to walk in your ways, Lord. Obey you, walk with you, Lord, because you're a holy God, a righteous God. Lord, we just, as you see how we dealt with your people, how we deal with the enemy, Lord, we just see your mercy, Lord. You just see, Lord, that you are awesome, Lord. So help us as a church to walk with you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord, that those who, if they point finger, it would be wrong for you, Lord. Lord, we're concerned about you, about what you say. Not what people say or think about us, but Lord, we're concerned, Lord, what you say. So talk to me today, talk to us, talk to your church today, and to Pastor Dan, Lord, just, Lord, keep my heart, keep my, keep me sensitive, Lord, to you, Lord, as a church, Lord, just keep us sensitive to you, so you can say that you are pleased with us, Lord, pleased with the Swanton Christian Church, Lord, the way we walk, the way we walk with you. So, Lord Jesus, just pray for them, just anoint his lips, use him mightily this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.